Hey, I'm Butterfly.
Hey, I'm Firefly.
Have you ever wondered if we aren't being told the truth about everything?
What have we been lied to about? Join us as we have conversations and ask questions about everything. We invite you to keep an open mind and consider the unfathomable.
Let's break the chains that enslave our minds. Come on, let's go down the rabbit hole.
What's up, Butterfly?
Hey, Firefly, what's going on?
We have a rabbit hole.
We're going down a rabbit hole.
Now, this rabbit hole, we had to kind of clarify.
Right.
We're not just coming out and nitpicking about people that we can't stand. We're not doing that.
Or their behaviors.
Their behaviors.
That we don't like.
There are plenty of people out there who exhibit behaviors that we don't approve of. And what we're saying is that's not the gist of this episode. Let's kind of start off with the white pill before we get into some of these behaviors. What's the white pill of this episode?
Well, the white pill is don't go down these roads. Because
what we're saying is if you allow yourself to become an immoral bottomless pit, it starts leading you down a road of becoming a reprobate. And eventually, you're going to exhibit a behavior that's kind of the point of no return, where no one is ever going to want to be in your life anymore because you've now started behaving in a way that's just kind of irreconcilable, right?
Well, yeah, or at least there might be certain people that won't be able to come to terms with it. And what it basically is an irreconcilable difference.
It's an irreconcilable difference.
Didn't they have a movie? They had a movie like in the early 80s with, who was in that? I think it was Meryl Streep. Remember, it was called Irreconcilable Differences?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you have an irreconcilable difference, that is, that's just, it's a difference between people.
Was that the one with Glenn Close where she comes and tries to kill Michael Douglas? What was that one?
No, that was Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction.
That was such a good movie.
That was gnarly.
Oh my God, I think that scared every man out of having an affair.
Yeah.
Right?
It was gnarly.
No, this was about two people getting a divorce because they had irreconcilable differences.
And that's always what, like, the reason that when, you know, because she goes and she talks to her lawyer and the lawyer goes, well, what's going on? I just feel like there's irreconcilable differences.
Yeah.
So you can have that in a marriage, but I think you can also kind of have that with, like, friendship.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, like, the example that I was coming up with, and your mom's going to get mad, but I'm going to use this because it's a perfect analogy. So,
okay, but let's keep it clean.
I'll keep it clean. I like the analogy.
It's a perfect analogy.
So, for us, when someone goes and gets the pokey pokes, right?
Yeah.
If you've decided to go get the pokey pokes, even after us being on the street screaming at you 5 years ago, don't get them, and you just went, oh, wow, that's really interesting. Come on, son.
Then it's a fundamental difference.
It's a fundamental difference. And now the fact that you've got the pokey kind of is like a bridge too far. Like it's almost like irreconcilable. I don't know how to relate to you anymore.
Yeah.
So
it's something that changes your views to the point where, yeah, you feel like you just cannot relate to this person anymore.
So the example was, so your neighbor is Jennifer.
Okay.
So Jennifer is your neighbor.
And you just decide to pop in on her.
You go over to her house and you're like, where's Jennifer? I just wanted to say hi to her really quick. I made a bundt cake and I want to give her a piece.
Bundt cake.
So you go over to her house and the door's a little ajar.
You go in the sliding glass door.
Maybe. You go in the sliding glass door like you always do because she lives next door. So she's always saying, just come over anytime. So you go, oh, great. I got bundt cake. So you walk in and Jennifer is on the couch and her German Shepherd is licking her down there.
So great.
And you go, whoa. Oh my God. And you go, Jennifer, I'm so sorry. And then you go, I'll leave. I'll come back another time. But then as you're walking back to your house, you go, oh my God, Jennifer's dog was just licking her down there. And then you go, wait a second. So my neighbor's kind of like practicing bestiality. So, oh my God, I don't know if I can hang out with Jennifer anymore.
I can't. I just don't feel like I can relate to Jennifer
I can't.
Anymore.
We have a lot in common, but I just can't get over that.
That was a bridge too far.
It's a bridge too far.
I can't get that image out of my head.
I can't. I can't move past that. Like, sometimes people can do stuff like, you know, think about something that somebody might do that you go, yeah, they do that, but I don't really mind. You know, like, I used to hang out with my roommate and he chewed tobacco.
That's kind of gross.
It was gross. Yeah. And he would have these like spittoons all around his room. And it was like 40 ounce beer bottles filled up with spit.
Ew.
So he didn't really approve of that. It was kind of gross, but I could still go hang out and watch a movie with him and chill with him.
Yeah.
But
that wasn't a bridge too far.
It wasn't a bridge too far. I was able to overlook that and still mend the fence.
Right.
Whereas when you go over and you see Jennifer doing what she was doing, it's like, I'm not going to talk to her.
It's like a fundamental difference that you just can't quite get past. You can't really relate to somebody who does that.
And that's how I feel about the pokey pokes. Yeah. Because if you went and you got the pokey pokes after us telling you not to, I think you've kind of gone and let your German Shepherd lick you down there. That's just not how I look at it. So it's kind of like, I can't get past that you did that. Another example is, remember I told you I watched the Charlie Sheen documentary?
Yeah. Well, so I think kind of what we're saying is it's like a really bad decision.
It's a really bad decision.
You make a really bad decision and it's kind of like, it sort of changes your opinion. You know what I mean?
Have you ever heard of like semiotics? Semiotics is like this study of signs. And then, so it's like something is just what it is. But when you bring cultural significance and context to it, it means a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
Like, for instance, if you see somebody holding up one of those Illuminati signs.
Oh, yeah.
It's just some dude covering his left eye.
Right.
That's all it is. But it's a sign. So it has all of this meaning.
It's got significance.
And significance dripping off of it.
And so if they're doing that, that would be a bridge too far for me. Because
that's another example.
That person is aligning themselves with Satan, basically, and the culture club. And when they're capitulating to the culture club, yes. I just can't really relate to that person anymore. It's a fundamental difference that I cannot. I
noticed that about you when I mentioned Charlie Sheen. You snarl at the mention of his name. He's gross. So gross. And then I watched on this. Okay, so now I can't be a Charlie Sheen fan anymore.
Yeah, you told me that.
So I
kind of realized that years ago, but you needed to watch his documentary.
I was a fan up until yesterday.
He should have kept that documentary to himself.
He's made a wrong turn into the Jennifer zone.
Yeah.
So Jennifer and Charlie Sheen have both been stricken off my Christmas list because what did Charlie Sheen say? He used to just do drugs and have sex with whores, and I kind of liked him. I was like, whatever, that's like chewing tobacco in your room. I don't mind. But now he's like, well, I have sex with men and women. And I'm like, okay, you know what, dude, you're just a total reprobate.
Because what did you say? He said that it was like he had never looked at the other side of the menu.
I flipped over the menu and there's all of these other offerings on the other side of the menu. He's like,
dude, you're not supposed to be like interested in those other things on the back side of the menu.
No, that's like the reprobate menu. Mm-hmm. It's like we have the reprobate menu available from 3 to 5. So that was another example of somebody who did something where I'm just like, So there's another example that we've had. Not every single time, but for the most part, if you got a tattoo.
Yeah, because I think most people get those without really thinking. It's like your friend who got her nipple pierced on the way to Taco Bell.
She got her nipple pierced on the way to get tacos.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of times there's just no thought that goes into that. And, you know, we know like some people may get some and then later regret it, like that Bugs Bunny tattoo that you got on your calf. Not you, but
That, yeah.
I know somebody like that. And then it's like years later, they're like, oh, it's kind of not really that cool. And it's like, well, maybe you should have like thought about that before you did permanent bod mod.
Permanent
So
bod mod.
permanent bod mod is kind of a maybe a bridge too far,
It,
you
you
know?
know what it is some people, like you said, can have one and you kind of can overlook it because you're like, whatever. But there's other people who've gone way too far and
They
I'll
just
just, you know.
don't know when to stop, and then it starts creeping up their necks, on their chest, on their face, you know, and it's like, okay, that's a bridge too far. It's a
Like,
bad decision.
so now.
It makes you wonder when somebody makes those decisions, like, what, you know, like we were saying, you know, if they're drawing my blood or cleaning my teeth, I don't know if I really feel comfortable with that.
That's
Are
right.
they going to be using their best judgment? Seems like
Well, I've talked about
they
that in
don't
other
use good judgment.
episodes. Like if a dude looks at a vagina and says, no, thank you, but then looks at a hairy butt and goes, yes, I want that. That's like something where I don't want financial advice from that person.
Because
I
he's
don't
not
want,
got just judgment.
yeah, you made a decision that I think is like a fundamentally bad decision. So all I can think of is I don't really lend a lot of credence to your worldview. I think you're kind of a screwed up person, and I can't agree with you. I think that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know? So the same thing with tattoos. And then what are some other ones that we've had? Oh, I know. What if somebody kneeled at a Black Lives Matter rally?
Yeah,
You just
totally.
kind of go, oh my God, you drank that Kool-Aid.
Drinking Kool-Aid
You
and
went
doing
along
that.
with that. I
Yeah.
can't really, I mean.
Actually going along with a lot of the Kool-Aid lies, I don't know, for me it's hard to relate
Totally.
to Kool-Aid drinkers.
Like, what
You
if we
know?
went out to the No Kings movement?
Right.
I think that's a good example because there's some people out there who there we have irreconcilable differences. I'm not going to be able to ever relate with you.
Yeah.
But there's some people out there who I could see, like my mom, I love. She's drunk on the Kool-Aid, but I still love her. I'm not going to just write her off and never talk to her again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But there's some people out there who I don't want anything to do with them because they're just completely drunk on the Kool-Aid.
Well, you know what comes to mind? What the people that I just can't relate to at all when I see somebody wearing a mask.
Yeah, you're
It's
wearing a
like,
mask.
okay, you're so drunk on the Kool-Aid and scared to death of whatever the news is telling you that you're just what, gonna wear a mask on your face for the rest of your life? Like, I don't know. I just can't relate to
And
that
it's
person.
been 5 years and you still haven't like woken up from the psyop.
Well, here, yeah, not only have you not woken up, but when I see somebody wearing a mask, I know for 100% sure that person has been pokey poked.
They've been poked.
So it's like, I just want to ask them, like, well, why did you get the pokey poke? Because wasn't that to protect you from getting that cold? So then why are you wearing a mask? Shouldn't you be protected?
Well, that's why
Right?
it's kind of a bridge
Kind of
too far.
defeats the purpose of the whole
You're
thing.
irrational, so I can't really hang out with you and relate with you because you're irrational. You're wearing a mask, but you got the pokey. The pokey is supposed to make you immune. That's what a vaccine is supposed to make you immune, but you're still wearing a mask. It's like
It defeats the
it
purpose,
defeats the purpose. So
right?
you're being irrational. So you're just being a media follower, you know, because, you know, just because you're afraid. And I can't relate with that, you know? What's another one where people exhibit this behavior and I'm just like, you know what? I really can't relate with you. Well, we talked about when people sell their souls. That's always a bad one.
Well, big pharma is another
Big
one.
pharma.
When you go down the big shawarma road, usually it leads you to more big shawarma. Because do you ever watch I mean, you can't watch TV anymore without watching like a gazillion ads for some new drug, and all of them have like all these side effects, but then there's like all kinds of other drugs to counteract those side effects. So once you head down the big shawarma road, you're going to be like deep into it. You know, you're going to be not taking one pill, you're going to be taking like 10.
You know who's another? That's a good point. That's a great point because it's a slippery slope. Because now that big shawarma that you're taking is going to give you side effects that you have to take more big shawarma to offset. So that's true. But how about somebody who sells big shawarma, or
Oh,
like
you
a
know.
doctor who prescribes big shawarma? I think that's a bridge too far. Like I can't relate to a person like that.
No, for
Like I
sure.
couldn't. Like if my neighbor was a doctor that got tons of money from big shawarma, I wouldn't go hang out with him.
No. Yeah, I know somebody like that who is a doctor, and like that person has gotten her whole family and all her children pokey poked, and they've been really sick, and it's like I just can't relate. I can't relate.
So the point of this episode is if you keep going along with the social engineering of the culture club, you're eventually going to get led down a path to a behavior that's going to alienate you, and people are not going to be able to even relate with you anymore. I think that's the gist of this one.
I think so too.
Because you have to be relatable. In order to have friends and in order to be in a relationship, someone's got to relate with you.
Right. Now I guess, you know, the walkers could say on the other side is, you know, remember how mad a lot of them got with the people who didn't want to get the pokey
That's
pokes?
true.
Because they thought that if you didn't do it, you were a problem. You
So
know what I mean?
they consider us to be irreconcilably different.
Yeah. So, I mean, actually, it can go both ways. You know what I mean?
And I see that being kind of the way that Satan orchestrated it. He was like, good, good, good. What I'd like to do is just have everybody kind of hate each other and just pretty much be in a situation where no matter what, they're never going to come around to liking that person. Because if we all hate each other, the media is going to continue to corral us into our isolated satellite pods, and that's where we're all going to get exterminated. The only way we can win is by coming together.
So, do you think there's a way to reconcile your irreconcilable differences with
Yes.
people?
Well, I think people have to
Maybe.
repent.
Yeah.
They have to stop doing it. Otherwise, you can't.
Right.
They can't just keep doing the same behavior. They have to go, wait a second. What am I wearing a mask for? I got maskne. I got hypoxia. And I also got these shots. I mean, I don't need this thing. Come to the conclusion that you're wrong. And then I can start to be like, yeah, that's no problem. I don't care if you got duped. We all got lied to.
I think kind of that's where the problem stems from, is people don't want to admit that they got fooled. You know, what's that saying? It's easier to fool a person than to convince the person that they've been fooled.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Well, we've talked about the guy at the casino, and he's losing, he's losing, and he's losing. And he keeps telling himself that he's due,
He's
and he keeps
due.
doubling down, but he won't just admit to himself that he shouldn't have gone to the casino tonight. He should take the rest of his money and go get one of those $9.99 steak dinners. But instead,
Or go buy a pair of shoes.
go get a pair of
That's a
shoes.
sure thing.
Exactly. You know, but he just stays there because I think what happens is people's egos
Yeah.
don't allow them to admit that they've been duped. Because I think about my ego. If I got duped into taking like the pokies, I'd be bummed.
I'd be bummed too. I think it's easier for people just to dig their heels in and like not admit that they were fooled than to like come to the realization that they're bummed that they made a
So,
bad
like,
decision.
you'll talk to him, and he'll be like, why did you get that? And they'll be like, well, I had you for my job.
Yeah.
And they'll have like a rationalization.
Which we've talked about this before. So to me, that's always worse. The ones with the excuses always seem worse to me than the ones that like were terrified. You know, the people that were like terrified,
They're more like victims.
I kind of felt bad that the news scared them to it, you know. But the ones that were like, oh, I wanted to go on a cruise,
I don't feel sorry for you.
Or, oh, my job told me I had to. It's like, well, if you knew it was wrong, then like, do you not have any principles? Like, you just kind of just do whatever just because of this reason, you know?
Yeah, that's a character trait that you're exhibiting that I can't relate to. Not only I can't relate to you, I disapprove and I can't really get over it. I think that's what it is.
That's what it is.
I disapprove and I can't get over it. You know, it's so, and I guess I don't want to act like I'm not forgiving. I'm just saying that, you know, if you go down this path that the media is leading you down, pretty soon you're gonna start having sex with animals or getting shots.
I mean, you don't want to end up like Jennifer, you know what I mean? So I think like the white pill is we just need to realize that, you know, there's certain paths that may lead to our demise.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like you know, if you go down the path of debauchery, what we're finding now is you can find yourself in a place where you're not really coming back. Like Jennifer's not coming back to normal life if her German Shepherd is licking her down there. She's not coming back. You know, sometimes you've gone off the reservation and there's bye.
Or at least you're not coming back after that because
You're not.
after seeing that, you know.
I'm not coming back. But even if she goes, you know what? I kind of stopped doing that. And now I'm just back to being with my husband. It's like, well, it doesn't matter. The fact that you went
Does
there,
your husband know about that?
it So, anyways, I think that's what it comes down to. What were you talking about?
You brought up Joey Buttafuoco
Oh yeah, Joey Buttafuoco.
in this conversation that we were having before we started recording this. You were trying some analogy with Joey Buttafuoco. Remember him?
So
He
Joey Buttafuoco is the one that Lorena Bobbitt chopped off his,
his
you know what, and threw it on the ground, and then by some fluke, somebody found it, sewed it back on, and did porn.
I remember what it was. You were saying like you can't really come back from that, and I said, well, actually, he did come back from that because
Yeah.
he got it sewn back on.
No, but so that's another, that brings up another irreconcilable difference. If you went and chopped your tits off or chopped your, you know what off because you called yourself a tranny, I'm pretty much thinking you've gone to the point of no return now.
I can't relate to that.
There's no like,
But also, I think like if you're the wife and you chop off your husband's, you know what? I'm guessing that he probably can't relate to her anymore.
he
That's
that's.
probably a bridge too
That
far.
might be an irreconcilable difference. Although I think they had different last names. I think she might have been cheating on her husband with him. That might have been the whole gist of it.
But then
Because
she
they're,
got really mad and chopped off his thing.
yeah, they're immoral bottomless pits. And
That's
he,
an immoral bottomless pit
so
behavior.
he was having probably, I don't know all the dynamics, but I'm thinking, so Lorena Bobbitt was married to her husband. Then she started having an affair with Joey Buttafuoco. But then Joey Buttafuoco started cheating on her. And she got mad
She
and
got
said,
mad.
I'm chopping that off. And then she threw it out the
You're
window.
not using that anymore.
You're not using that. But then he goes, but guess what? Someone found it, sewed it back on, and now I do porn.
I always, what is that what he did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They must have done a
Now,
good job sewing that.
that's script. That could have been
That
all
could have been,
fake.
yeah, because I thought about that at the time. I was like, what, how was she able to like pull out a knife and actually do that? Like, that seems like a, like
There's,
he would have had to been like standing still in a certain position and wouldn't he have been able to stop her? You know what I mean? I kind of wonder about that
maybe she
story.
was pretending to be, you know, administering, you know what, on him, and he was being like, oh, good, I'm glad what you're doing is feels good. And then she went, no, but I'm gonna do this now. That might have been what happened. Because
Maybe.
Joey Buttafuoco seems like the kind that would probably be easily duped.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's fluky about that story is someone finds it on the ground
Yeah, it's almost kind of like that story where they find the passports of the guilty people
Yeah.
from 9/11
Very similar.
three blocks away in perfect condition,
Perfect condition.
that they just found in the rubble, and they were able to determine that those were the passports of the people that committed the crime. And
Like, it's almost like the guy walks up to Joey and goes, "Joey, did you lose something?" Yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, give me that back. I don't know. That sounds far-fetched. And then they sell it back on. It works fine.
It works great.
Like goes and goes porn. Like, okay, maybe it was better before. Maybe it was better. Maybe they enhanced it.
Was bionic. Now he's got bionic.
What if other dudes are like doing it now? Like, well, I want the Joey Buttafuoco surgery.
Don't know. I think that's a bridge too far.
Well,
You know what I mean?
that I think so. Well, clearly Lorena Bobbitt considered Joey Buttafuoco's behavior to be a bridge too far.
She tried to put an end to it.
But so what's the white pill for this episode? I think the white pill for this episode is there are very real consequences for becoming an immoral bottomless pit and letting the media drive your behavior because you're eventually going to go down a road too far to return.
Yeah. So that's kind of the point, is letting the media drive your behavior, because I think all of these behaviors are they actually stem from media influence. If you look at it, if you think about it,
Totally.
all of these behaviors are from being influenced by the media in some way.
That's what I've always
And
said.
you know, I think letting the media drive your behavior is not a good way to go. That's going to lead to your demise.
Well,
It's letting Larry Fink drive your behavior.
totally. I've always said, because I said that back in 1987. Remember, I told you I looked around and I said, everybody's controlled by the media. And you have to ask yourself, okay, so I don't want to be controlled by the media. So what do I do? I think you have to have a relationship with God. The only difference between people who are worshiping the media is people have a relationship with God and they have very real morality is what does it. Because the media is immoral.
Right.
So the media makes you an immoral bottomless pit. The only thing that separates you from them is morality. That's the only thing.
And what's happened over the last several decades is the media has become more and more immoral in their messaging, and more showing more and more debauchery. So it's sort of normalized, like, immoral bottomless pit behavior and debauchery. Whereas, like, you know, in 1950s, they never would have shown these things that they show on TV now, you know, or in movies. Like, the things that they show now, just as a normal whatever thing, would have been like X-rated back then, and they never would have shown it, you know.
Like on the Hunting Wise, we were watching the Hunting
Oh my
Wise,
God, that
and
would have been like a pornographic film back in the 50s.
but they have the one scene where the dude Schlong shows up for a minute and
Yeah.
just makes in a cameo, and they wouldn't do that,
No.
like we were saying, Ozzie and Harriet had no Schlong.
No.
If there was a Schlong in Ozzie and Harriet, everybody would be shocked and appalled, and the cast would be shocked and appalled. The audience would be completely, it'd be unacceptable. The show would have been canceled.
Well, so here's a perfect real life example. So that's the kind of stuff that they show in TV shows and movies now as just like really not a big deal. Like, you know, we watched that show on Netflix, and I don't know what it was. Do they rate TV shows? I guess maybe they rate
I
them
don't
mature or
know.
whatever, but it's just kind of like no big deal, you know. But like, remember you were talking about the kid at your at one of the high schools that just like took out his, you know what, in class and started like playing with it in front of the whole class. Like, that would never have happened, you know, even 15 years ago or even 10 years
No.
ago, I don't think. But like, I just think that, you know, there's so much of this kind of immoral behavior on shows and everything that especially young people are easily influenced, that they see that, and it's like people become sort of, you become, when you see more and more immoral behavior and the more stuff you see like that, you become jaded and sort of like it doesn't affect you the same way anymore. And like this kid probably has seen a bunch of gross stuff and he's just like become an immoral bottomless pit. And so he had no problem doing that and probably maybe just wanted the shock value of freaking people out, or I don't know what his reason was, but that is not normal behavior. But they're normalizing this kind of
stuff. Well, we've become kind of an immoral society, and we've talked about how the Overton window has shifted.
Exactly.
What's the Overton window for people who don't know? The Overton window is those things that are acceptable in our society.
Right.
That has shifted. An example is I saw this lady at a pro-choice rally, and there was like one of these conservatives goes up to her and goes, well, now, do you think that abortion should just be like a form of birth control? And she's like, oh, yeah, I kill my babies. I love Satan and I kill my babies.
She said that?
That's what she said. Oh, I love Satan. I kill my babies. I've had 4 abortions and I'll have another one if I ever get pregnant again. I have no qualms about it. Those are not human beings. That's a clump of cells. See, her worldview would have been completely unheard of in the 1950s.
Yeah.
They didn't have women that were just complete animals like that.
She would have maybe even been like arrested or put in like an insane asylum.
They would have had a special,
you know what I mean?
Special place for her.
Yeah.
She would have had to go to one of those places where you get your pill in the morning and you pretty much spend your day in the in the day room.
Yeah.
But now the Overton window has shifted.
Right.
And so she can come out and just be like, I kill my baby.
Well, this makes me think along. So on this point, it makes me think about the whole idea of how we become jaded. You know, I think when the media is pushing certain things, because we know that TV shows, even commercials, everything is all about social engineering now. And it's messages that they want pushed out to us, that what they want us to think is normal. And, you know, at first, you know, when you start seeing something that you find offensive, you're like really offended and bothered by it. But have you noticed how, like, the longer it goes on and the more you see it, you kind of like just sort of become jaded to it?
Yep.
And I think that's the whole point of how they do it. They just keep pushing certain themes and certain narratives out there constantly to the point where it just becomes normalized and people just sort of accept it, that this is normal now. And this is, you know, this is how it is. And
you know, there's an element of demoralization in that.
It is.
Like, think about boomers. Boomers have watched this country go down to hell in a handbasket, right? Mm-hmm. And so you think about a boomer, they've had to kind of become jaded and kind of just like become numb.
Yeah.
Because they've had to watch as everything became degenerate. The quality of life has gone down. It's so much more crowded and everything's just gotten so lame that they just have to sit there and go, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah. So we don't want to be Debbie Downers or be serving up black pills. So what is the white pill?
Well, I think the white pill is have a sense of urgency in saving your fellow brothers and sisters from this road of debauchery that leads to this path of no return. I think that's what it is.
That's what it is. And, you know, we can always lead by example, and you don't have to live a debaucherous life, and you can at least be an example to your own family and your, you know, immediate relatives and maybe friends and neighbors, you know.
Lead by example. You can't just admonish people and say, no, I say no. I think what you got to do is you got to lead by example. You have to set a good example for how you live, and you have to make it look enticing to not become a reprobate.
Right.
That's what it is.
You don't need to follow what the media is is
the media.
Serving, you know?
Well, that's right.
So,
And I guess maybe I look at it as, well, you got to have God. If you don't have God, you have the media. Well, you don't have to, because some people, they don't really believe in God fully, but they can still break free from the media. Don't let the media tell you what your values are. Like, for instance, when you watch The Hunting Wives, the media tells you it's okay to just be cheating on your husband.
A hot slut.
It's okay to be a hot slut. It's okay to just go and be.
It's glamorous and it's fun.
You know, and if you're not grounded in your own morality, in one way, shape, or form, you're going to adopt that as a worldview and just think that being in a moral bottomless pit is the way to go. I'm telling you, it's not.
Or you're going to think that because it's happening in all of these shows and movies, that's normal and that's happening everywhere. And then I think the point of what they're doing with that is they try to make, like, they put out there what they want you to think is normal. And that's not really what's happening everywhere. But the problem is that most people are followers. And so when they see these behaviors all the time out there in the media, and they think that this is what's normal, this is what's happening, they end up starting to follow and fall into that kind of behavior themselves. So I think that's, you know how they,
that's the white pill.
They push stuff and they hope that the population will follow the message.
Because peer pressure is gnarly.
It's peer pressure.
So like you have your friends, and your friends are starting to go act like reprobates. And you're like, well, they're doing it, whatever. You know, don't do what your friends do, and don't do what the media tells you to do. You know?
You know what? You can have like fun gatherings with other people and share similar, you know, values and conversations with your friends like that. And I think like what we talked about in our last episode, a big part of their plan is to keep us separated and keep people isolated into their own little 15-minute cities. You know, when you get together with friends and like have a barbecue or whatever, you know, you're sharing like wholesome values, hopefully.
Yes.
You know,
that's true too. Gather, because when you gather with people rather than just sit in your isolated cell all day with your phone, that's going to turn you into a reprobate. Because you're lonely and you're going to be desperate for approval and desperate for some kind of a connection with people. And Satan goes, good, good, good. Here, connect with these people, you know?
Totally. Well, I think that was a kind of an interesting rabbit hole.
That was.
I know. I think
that was. We kind of were maybe.
Probably like not making more friends on this.
I don't care, though. I mean, what we're doing is being honest. Well, it's like, dude, if. If I walk in, your German Shepherd's licking you, you know what? I kind of can't hang out here.
Yeah.
All right, really? We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.